Sabrosura pa ti que que.
Hello, everyone. This is Pam, de Café con Pam, the bilingual podcast that features Latine and people of the global majority who break barriers, change lives, and make this world a better place. Welcome to episode 313 of Café con Pam. Today, we have a conversation with Rachel and Frank Gonzalez. They're back, actually. Rachel and Frank are advocates and allies in the movement for transgender equality. As the parents of transgender youth, they have been fiercely advocating for the transgender community to ensure all transgender people receive the love and support that has allowed their daughter to thrive. Rachel and Frank have testified many times at the Texas Capitol. They have been an integral part of blocking Texas' anti-transgender bathroom bill in 2017, the many bills proposed in 2021. They've spent countless days fighting the unprecedented number of anti-transgender bills proposed in 2023 legislative session and continues to push for trans equality across Texas and around the country. Though most of their advocacy is not public, they maintain a local to national media presence, and Rachel serves on the Human Rights Campaign Parents for Transgender Equality Council. Listeners, we thought it was important to bring Frank and Rachel back to Café con Pam because ever since they were at Café con Pam, they were episode 197, and we talked about a lot of things. And frankly, this interview, and you'll hear me say this, was the first one was extremely hard because I knew that I kind of had to ask questions that I didn't want to ask because it really I didn't want to know. It's not something that I'm curious about, but I knew it's a conversation that needs to happen. And so both Rachel and Frank were really generous with their answers and even during this interview. And so one thing that we came up with actually, because at the end of the interview, I was like, you know, I don't even know what questions people want to know because they're so inappropriate. So I don't want to ask them, but I know people need to know not to ask them. And so what we came up with was, well, what if we open up a call for listeners to ask questions that they are curious about when it comes to trans youth, when it comes to transgender people in general, that you may be wondering. And this is an anonymous question that you could ask. So what we'll do is we could bring Rachel and Frank back and I'll ask the question and they'll respond with, this is why you don't ask this question, which I thought it was a great approach to addressing all of the intricacies that come with challenging the binary. Let me know what you think. We have a page. If you go to cafecompam.com, there's an option that says, send us a question. It's a completely anonymous form. We'll never know who sent it. You can just, what we ask is for you to drop in a nickname. It could be tomato. It could be whatever you want. And this is just so you know when we are sharing the question. So it doesn't have to be your name. We don't need to know that. But it has to be something that will say, well, Apple Tree asked this question. That way it just makes it a little bit more human in a way that there was someone behind that curiosity. So, you know, it's an option. I'll remind you again after the interview. And sin más, here is my conversation with Frank and Rachel Gonzalez. Rachel and Frank, welcome to Café con Pam.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting us back.
Yeah, it's been 2 years. Lots of things have happened.
Lots of things have happened.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. I saw a picture of Libby. Oh my gosh, so grown.
Yeah, it's incredible what happens like in the, I don't even know, like 6 months preceding turning 13, all of a sudden, like prepared to be a teenager.
Yeah, she was wearing high top shoes and that have like platforms in them. And then one day she stopped wearing them. And I was like, wait, you're not wearing those platforms anymore? And she
My mom calls it the estiron, like the, I don't know, like a rubber band. And it just like, pfft, it just like grows so fast. It's wild. When I saw the picture, I was like, has it been like 5 years? And no, it's been like 2 years.
So, it also feels like it's been 5 years from like less than a year ago. Like, what happened? You turned into a teenager.
Those fun years. My niece is 12 and it's quite interesting, mm-hmm. You know. the things that they don't want to talk about, things they want to talk about.
I mean, I have to say, I don't have any of those complaints. Like, we're pretty good with, like, you know, all the things that people normally complain about teenagers. We don't have that so much. I mean, I wish she would hang up, like, her towel after she showers, but.
Yeah, normal. Last time I talked to you, it was March 2021. And TBH, that was a difficult interview for me because in a way I didn't have to, but I felt this way kind of to ask questions that I didn't want to ask because people were wondering. And so you were really generous and gentle with me to be like, this is what you're thinking you need to ask. And this is what people always ask. Let me just tell you the answer. So I want to thank you for that because I don't want to know, but I know people do. And I think having this platform is a place for us to have those conversations and open eyes for people to even create awareness that sometimes the things that they ask is unnecessary.
No, I agree.
So tell me what's been happening in your world. 2021 was the last time we talked.
So much. You know, I think we talked to you right before everything went sideways since then. Like, we have not had a break since we last spoke. I think when we last spoke, we were sort of hoping that we would be able to push off any anti-trans legislation, and especially because of the COVID distraction happening in Ledge and then the freeze that had just happened. There were plenty of real things for legislators to care about, but they were like, absolutely not. We need to double down on this manufactured problem. So the rest of 2021 was pretty terrible. We had three special sessions after the regular session ended, and then it ultimately ended in the anti-transgender sports ban passing in October of 2021, which was really brutal because it was the first time that legislation impacting transgender kids had passed. So, you know, my middle daughter, Cecilia, was like, okay, I guess we're going back to Austin tomorrow to kill this. And like, it was really almost surreal because we have poured so much, and not just our family, obviously, but like the community of Texas has poured so much into fighting anti-transgender, anti-LGBTQ legislation over the past years that, you know, even though defeating it still wouldn't really feel that much like a win because it's still such a loss in that our legislature has invited the general public to weigh in on the existence of trans kids and their families and trans adults, and things have just escalated from there. But unfortunately, immediately following the passage of HB 25, which was the sports ban, governor and attorney general issued directives that ultimately led to the closure of our gender clinic here in Dallas. And it didn't make really big news because everybody was just sort of trying to maintain composure and figure out what the next steps were and try not to piss off the governor more because we're really traumatized from the year. Fortunately, the physician that runs that clinic had sued the hospital for not allowing her to best practice medicine. So we still have an injunction there. The clinic opened back up. And then fast forward into February of 2022, our governor and attorney general both issued directives to the state of Texas saying, in their opinion, that any mandatory reporter had to turn in any family of a transgender kid to the Department of Family Protective Services.
Oh my gosh.
It was one of the most just living in those moments of terror of families across the state in hysteria going, what does this mean? We immediately had a Zoom with attorneys. I helped organize in like less than 24 hours, and we had like 500 people on it. And they assured us that this did not change the law. It has not changed the law. This is the governor's opinion. So we all, you know, took a little bit of a breath. And then a couple days later, DFPS started showing up at families' homes and investigating them.
How do they figure who to show up? Like, which homes?
Mandatory reporters were led to believe that they were obligated to turn in families of trans kids. I mean, it was intentionally deceptive to give mandatory reporters the impression that they are required to turn families of trans kids into the Department of Family Protective Services, which is not true. And it was against the law then, it's against the law now, and there is nothing in the Texas law code that has changed the definition of child abuse. You know, our family had to hire an attorney. We had to prepare our children with statements. They all have cell phones now.
And that was terrifying for them. I mean,
for sure.
Our younger kids are just, you know, they were having nightmares of being taken away from their parents.
Oh my gosh.
It's pretty scary. But we're very fortunate that we live in Dallas County where we haven't experienced an investigation. And I don't think there's anything more terrifying to parents than being, you know, having their kids taken away from them out of your control. And especially in our situation where we have a very vulnerable now 13-year-old who is, you know, a brown trans girl in the state of Texas, it's really scary to think about losing custody of her. Or, I mean, there were also bills that have been filed that would imprison Frank and I for supporting.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's off the rails, but it has also come to light more so. We participated in a special report documentary called Deep in the Pockets of Texas that expose the money trail, that there are these Christian white nationalist billionaires like West Texas Oil who are funding this across the country. And they are primarying Republicans who don't fall in line. So what we saw in this legislative session in 2023 is Republicans who are like unreal extreme. But if they want to keep their seats, they don't really have any option. Otherwise, somebody's going to be put up to primary them. So we had 140 anti-LGBTQ bills filed in the state of Texas for this past legislature.
Just in Texas.
Yeah. I think we're at 525 so far across the nation. And we ultimately had 7 pass. I don't even know how to put words on the legislative session. It, you know, in the past, we have these terrible bills. We know there's a hearing that's coming. We can organize, prepare. This session, it was like, okay, there's 2 bills being heard on Monday and 3 being heard on Tuesday and 2 being heard on Wednesday and 1 being heard on Thursday. And let's cross our fingers there's not one scheduled for Friday. Like, it was insane.
It's like legislative whack-a-mole.
No kidding. Your whole family is very involved and you're active on like doing all the work all the time. How's your mental health? How do you take care of it?
I'll handle it first. So sometimes just even being there is traumatic in its own because, you know, you've got to just listen and you can't respond. So to hear people saying hateful things is just really hard. And when you come back from that, you know, you're just beat down and it's hard to be patient throughout your normal life and, you know, be compassionate and like immediately and not be short. Fortunately, unfortunately, you know, I recognize this in myself and, you know, I have to take a step back for, you know, a minute and just remind myself that, you know, this doesn't affect them. They don't understand. And that's the hard thing is that a lot of our friends and family, they don't realize what's going on and they just know that we're gone, but they don't know what we have to deal with. And it's hard to just explain to them each time. Well, no, actually, we had to go and do this.
It's really, I mean, we're constantly living in a state of trauma. You know, this legislative session was so physically difficult because it was back and forth to Austin so much. And, you know, especially for me, making that drive alone in one day and having, you know, Frank will travel for work sometimes and jumping right back into 6 a.m. wake ups to take kids to school and pack lunches and all the things, it can be really, really taxing physically. Something that I had to come to terms with probably before the last time we spoke, definitely before the last time we spoke, I had to really readjust the way I was thinking about things and approaching them because it's not possible to continue this work and operate from a place of fear. Like, just the foundation of all of our advocacy is love. That's the bottom line. Like, I know, and this is what I tell my kids, especially Libby when she gets scared, is we might not win this battle, but I know in the end we will win because all of the decisions that we are making are based in love. And we know that's not what they're doing. So eventually this will outweigh all of this darkness that unfortunately has to come to light. It's really amazing to forge relationships with people who feel the same way and are willing to show up in these really volatile moments and have our backs and see us in these moments. There are so many amazing people in the state of Texas and across the country, but, you know, obviously we're in Texas, so we know just phenomenal people who are in this fight with us. And I mean, Frank mentioned this, it's really hard some days to even communicate, socialize anything with people who are not in the movement because it is so heavy. We had a day at the beginning of May that was, I mean, I think all of us who were there that day are going to be unpacking that trauma for a very long time. We had made a decision, hearing what had happened in other state capitals, not to bring our kids to the Capitol anymore. It was getting so volatile that we just couldn't do it. I'm really glad that we made that decision because that day was the first time they were bringing SB 14 to the House floor, which was the healthcare ban, to vote on it. And when it came to the floor, Frank and I were in line to get into the gallery because they were limiting the number of people that could watch in the gallery. And all of a sudden, people started pouring out. We were like, what's going on? Well, they decided to clear the gallery because somebody had dropped a banner that said protect trans kids or something like that. Instead of kicking the one person out, they said to clear the gallery. So everybody came out into the entryway to the gallery and were protesting. We've protested a gazillion times in that spot, chanting, you know, trans rights are human rights, protect trans kids, just, you know, the normal protest chants that we use that we've done in that space many times over. And the Capitol Police started corralling us. And we have on video from many different people, one of the cops grabbed one of our closest friends, who is a brown non-binary person, from behind. And I mean, it was a scene that we did not expect them to survive. It was awful. It was four gigantic cops on top of their tiny little body. And I mean, it was a flurry of insanity and watching them get drug away. And
so, and I witnessed this happen out of the corner of my eye. I just see them get thrown and I didn't see who actually threw them. And my initial response was to go towards them and protect them, just like I would any friend or loved one. And as I started making an initial movement towards them, police grabbed onto my arms. So I had two police grabbing hold of my arms and pushing me away. And, you know, like there was, it was like a split second of where I'm fighting with the police, you know, and then like snapped out of it, quickly realized like, oh, okay, those are police officers on top of them.
And then I couldn't figure out what Frank was doing because I could not see them on the ground and was like, why is Frank trying to get arrested? And then I came, well, then I had this giant cop pushing me, screaming for me to move. And I came around the corner and we happened to have Vice News. We've been working with Vice News for the entire session for a documentary. So Vice was with us. Gianna was with us and witnessed the whole thing. And so the cops ended up clearing the entire Capitol, like pushed everyone out of the Capitol and tried to push three legislators out who all happened to be legislators of color. And they were like, excuse me, I am a legislator in this office. And the only reason we didn't get pushed out was because we were with them. It was horrifying. And our friend is going to be physically and emotionally recovering for a long time. They were severely concussed. It was horrifying. And then we went back to the Capitol 2 days later for another round because the bill got held up on a point of order. It was really a remarkable shift in police presence. Like, we've been going to the Capitol since 2017, and we have never, never encountered police presence like this.
They pivoted to outwardly just showing their force. They had, everybody was carrying around bags of zip ties.
Like to arrest people?
Yep. There was,
oh my gosh,
all over the Capitol on like the second and third floor, which
I don't really know what they thought they were going to do with a bicycle.
Which I thought was really weird. Like they're going to ride downstairs. And, you know, they were mad dogging us like as we walked in, like looking me up and down and like giving me the stare. And
what shifted it?
I mean, I wish the Texas House would do an investigation into, I can only assume that some other directive came down because I mean, we also had, not we, there was an organized by young activists at the end of March. We had the House version, the companion bill to SB 14. The House version is a, sorry, these are not details you need to know, but HB 1686 was the House bill of the healthcare ban. And that hearing was so insane. I think it was almost 12 hours long and only 50 people were called to testify. We had over 2,800 people registered in opposition. The people registered for the bill, 96. And the chairwoman called 1-4, 1-against, 1-4, 1-against, so that the testimony record would look like it was even.
And gave those that were for the bill, gave them
like 20 minutes to talk. Like, it was insane. Ordinarily, when we have hearings that have a significant number of people show up to testify, it's like you get exactly 2 minutes. Move along, 2 minutes. And it was not held that way. And I called the legislative library and found out that it was the third largest turnout. It was the biggest turnout, I think, since 2013 of any registered position on any bill. So at the end, when they cut off testimony at midnight saying that they were not going to accept any more testimony, when we still had like over 400 people waiting to testify, when you register your position, you don't necessarily have to register to testify. So I know there was at least 400 people that didn't get to testify that had registered. And it appeared as though they had run out of people to testify for the bill. So there was a die-in in the rotunda outside. And it was, I mean, there's lots of video of Frank and I and Cecilia, our middle daughter, just like ugly crying because it was so emotional to see. And so many people show up. It's been a really emotional year and it's only June. So yeah, that was a lot we just threw at you.
I mean, it's a lot that you're going through. And you talk about often your chosen family, which is your LGBTQ plus supporter family, et cetera, et cetera. Do you have any support system, whether it's within those, that ecosystem of chosen family, but even outside people that support your mental health? Because dealing with this on a daily basis is a lot.
Mm-hmm. We have a pretty phenomenal community around us, and that's, you know, certainly not everybody is following what's going on, but we have friends and neighbors and teachers and school administrators that all hold things together for us so that we can go to Austin. And, you know, they show up sometimes with a coffee or make sure that my kids are fed. That's like the number one thing, is making sure somebody can let the dogs out and feed my kids. Libby made a decision in March that she would not be going back to the Capitol. We had done office visits and we left and she said, I'm not doing this again. I'm not going back and asking them to allow me to exist again. The office visits are pretty brutal because, and to be honest, we were meeting with Democrats. It wasn't even Republicans.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's a lot of mis and disinformation that is being put out there.
I know. And that's so unfortunate because I hear comments from people and questions that I'm like, why does that matter? Like, why do you care about what's happening in between the legs of a child? Like, That's none of your business. The misinformation and the conversation, I think it's wrong in so many levels. But you mentioned the money. How do all of these over 500 anti-trans bills benefit those people?
Obviously, there is perceived power that is on the chopping block here, I guess, because white cis men are, you know, it's never been so hard to be a white man in this country.
That makes me laugh so much. Every time I hear it, I'm like, oh, poor thing.
It's really impressive, though, to me, how many people are willing to buy into that narrative. That I'm like, what are you talking about? Do you even hear yourself? I mean, obviously, the general public is being fed a bunch of lies, in particular about trans kids, but they also don't realize that this is the same fight that we're fighting on for immigrant rights, for voting rights, for repro rights, the full-on attack on Black and brown bodies and the Asian community and anti-Semitism. Like, this is all the same hate source. And, you know, we're opposition is doing a great job of divide and conquer. So we have to stop looking at this as silos and start seeing the interconnectedness, the intersectionality of all of this work, because this is policing bodies, which is not new to this country. And people don't seem to realize that that's what we're dealing with.
Totally. I love that connection that you made, because while it's not quite freedom yet, but in a way we could say that there's some legalities around some free bodies. Now it's like, okay, let's switch it to the next whatever group that we're going to hold hostage. So wild.
Yeah.
That's what concerns me. The mental health challenge that affects people so much. 30% of transgender youth live in states that have passed bans on gender affirming care. And the majority of them present mental health challenge. Like they just, it's hard.
Yeah.
It's so hard to live. Are there any resources that are available for? I mean, I'm sure, but
there's a lot of emerging resources right now. One thing I'm personally really focused on is figuring out ways to give kids the will to live, because not everybody can leave the state, which is what, I mean, the number of media requests that we get to speak to a family who's leaving the state. I'm like, do you realize the minuscule percentage of families that are actually able to leave the state? Like, it's an enormous expense aside from all of the logistics and whether or not you can actually leave. I think we're headed into a really, really dark time where we're going to have to lean on community. We're going to have to give kids community that they can find joy. They can find, you know, that commonality and share space with in a way that other kids are not going to understand, because, you know, I don't really know how else we're going to get through this.
For sure. I mean, just like how when Libby made that decision and that quote of, I don't want to ask permission to live, like, trans youth do deserve joy and fun and excitement. Mm-hmm. And so we can transition into the prom that happened.
So right around that time, actually like a month before she made that decision, she said, I just think that we need to do something that's just kid-led. I'm tired of only adults speaking for us, both for and against all this legislation. You have all these adults making decisions, and my life is the one that's impacted, and nobody's asking me. So she talked to her chosen cousin, Daniel Trujillo, who lives in Arizona, and they were like, yes, we need to do something that's 100% kid-led. Only kids can be in charge, and it's for kids, and needs to be at the U.S. Capitol, and it has to be about joy. So Daniel's mom, Lisette, and I were like, yes, 100%. So we called our very dear friend from advocacy, Chase Strangio, who is an attorney at the ACLU. It was a really beautiful conversation where he was like, well, they could do this, they could do that. And then it kind of pivoted to, well, what we could do. So then he was like, all right, we're doing this. This is exactly what the community needs. And he charged them with finding a couple of other kids, Hobbs Chikumba and Grayson McFerrin, to form the steering committee. And he brought in some people that helped with logistics, but it was incredible that they met every single week, and he gave them tasks of, you know, all the different things that they needed to work on. Libby designed the logo. You know, they raised a lot of money, which was amazing. Elliot Page and Lily Wachowski and Ariana Grande and Demi Lovato were all big donors. So that one of their biggest things was they didn't want it to just be like the most privileged white trans kids able to show up. So we needed to raise money to bring a truly representative group of kids from across the country. Daniel and Libby were super clear in their intention about, you know, we want to show the rest of the world who we are, that we are full of joy, that we are amazing kids who love our lives, we love our families, and you need to stay out of our healthcare, stay out of our sports, stay out of our schools, stay out of our families. It had to be super secret because of all the haters.
For sure. That was my next question.
Yeah. So, but we were able to bring 50 kids from across the country, and they had clothing stipends, and it was like a whirlwind. Like people flew in on Sunday, and then prom was early Monday morning, and then people flew out Monday night.
Wow.
Yeah. It was wild, but it was so incredibly beautiful. For anybody that hasn't seen this, just Google Trans Prom. There, if you go to the Trans Prom Instagram, or Megan Rapinoe also shared the most beautiful video that has a voiceover of the four kids talking about, you know, their fight for trans liberation. And it's gotten incredible media coverage. And the overarching goal was attained, in that when you look up trans youth, you don't get a bunch of pictures of sad kids. You now see all of these gorgeous photos of beautiful kids having an amazing time together, celebrating each other. There were tons of trans adult chaperones. It was right in front of the U.S. Capitol. It was so, so beautiful. You know, we're going to be riding this high for a very long time because we had such a great time. And, you know, I think it was really the joy that the community needed to feel in that moment, and us too, because it's been pretty hard. And giving kids a moment to feel that connectedness and celebrate who they are. As Libby will tell you, we are something to be celebrated, not feared.
Yes. Yeah, I saw some pictures. I saw the video. Oh my gosh. So good. Was there any, because I'm like, security, how do we keep everyone safe?
I mean, the kids were like every single week it was drilled. And then once we had funding, it was like, you cannot speak about this to anyone, not even to the other kids that are coming. Like, you cannot talk about this. It was a super, super, super secret. And honestly, it was really hard right before prom, the week before prom, SB 14 had passed the House and the Senate. And oh my God, Libby's interviews, she would be like, well, Daniel and I had an idea about joy.
But I can't say much.
Yeah. So I'm like, oh, Libby, you could just like maybe sound like there's a little bit of joy. It was a really hard week. So it was also her last week of school. Like, it was just a lot. Safety was obviously a huge concern, and we were really fortunate to have found a team that was well-versed in sorting those things out for us, so we didn't have to worry too much about those logistics, and we were able to hand off that task, which was really, really helpful. So the kids could focus on, you know, their speeches and the logo and the signs that they wanted. And
yeah, and doing the kit thing.
Yeah. I don't know if you had a chance to look at the website, but they have like an incredible list of, you know, here's how you can have your own trans prom. It's awesome. It's transprom.org.
Wow.
Yes. And a big part of it also was that no organizations were affiliated.
That was intentional.
Libby came home from school one day and said, I wrote in my life. What did she say? I wrote in my journal, my life goals is to not let any organizations take over transprom.
Yes. So this is transprom is completely from kids for kids.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's so cool.
Yeah.
And I can't believe how quickly it all came together, because she worked so hard and it was intense.
But it was, I mean, I think the only like really sad part is that we couldn't invite a lot more people because of safety. Like, it had to be relatively small. You know, Libby and Daniel are like, okay, Transprom 2024. And
are ready working. I think, I mean, there's a whole website. I think it's a thing.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
It turned into something so incredibly beautiful that so many people are excited about. And it gave media an opportunity to rethink the way they're talking about trans kids. Because if you ask, I mean, I know in a lot of research, if you ask people what it means to be a trans kid, their image is like depressed, anxious, and helping to redefine that and relay to media that like, you're not doing us any favors by talking about trans kids like that was really their, like, the kids' underlying goal. And I mean, obviously there were a few underlying goals, but that was a big, big one. And claiming their own narrative.
Yeah. And having fun.
Yeah.
They deserve to have fun.
Yeah, totally.
That's awesome. We might take a mini tiny micro coffee break.
Okay.
All right.
Are you drinking coffee today? Or have you had your coffee?
So we went to Panama last summer for Miss Trans International. One of our really good friends was competing for Miss Trans. She was representing
Puerto Rico.
Yes. So Frank and I went to Panama and there is a coffee shop there called Cafe Unido that is so good. Panamanian coffee is delicious. And they have a coffee shop in DC now. And so we still have some beans from our last trip to DC last week because we went to Pride at the White House. So we had a really, really good coffee this morning. I'm trying to like not drink coffee in the afternoon anymore.
I know. I drink tea in the afternoon.
She's a bit of a night owl anyways. And like, add coffee to the mix. It's
then
like,
you're really a night owl.
Yeah.
You're a dolphin. You know, dolphins sleep with one eye open, one eye closed. Yeah. So, yeah, no, I can't. If I drink coffee after one, it's done. I'm not going to sleep. And then my anxiety just like gets out of control and, you know, it's more for that.
Yeah.
to sleep. So I'm drinking tea today. So I have a quick story about the power of communication and why I think it's so important to talk about misinformation and assumptions and, you know, creating stories in our head and without really knowing the whole picture. What happened to me yesterday, I ran out of coffee and I'm in Denver with David, my partner. He doesn't drink coffee, never has drank coffee in his life. His family doesn't drink coffee, has zero knowledge about anything related to coffee. And I ran out of coffee. I don't have a car in Denver. So I message him and I'm like, hey, can you stop at the store, bring some coffee because I ran out for tomorrow morning. And he's like, sure, just tell me what you want. Tell me specifics. I know coffee. And so I'm like, sure, go to Sprouts, send me a picture of like the aisle and then I'll tell you which one. That's the easiest way. Well, he happened to go to Sprouts when I was on a call. I was teaching a class. So I'm like, oh my gosh. And he's like, I'm here. Picture, picture, like five pictures. And I'm like, oh my gosh. I put people in breakout rooms for like 2 minutes. And then I'm looking at the pictures, make my selection, send the picture back. And I said, make sure it's ground. Because if it's not ground, it's just going to take a lot in the morning to do it. I don't want to deal with it. And he's like, no, it's not ground. And at this point, everyone's back. So I'm back to teaching. And so I'm like, just pick one that's ground. Well, this man brought me Dunkin' Donuts decaf ground coffee. Oh, God. And so he gets home and he's like, your coffee's on the counter. And I'm like, oh my, decaf, what are you thinking? And he's like, I don't even know what that means. Oh. And so he's like, you said ground. I brought ground. That was like the instructions, right? I've been reflecting on it. Because then we laughed about it. We talked about it. He was annoyed because he's like, I mean, I said what you told me, you know? And so like reflecting back on it, I think this happens a lot in humans when we just make assumptions that other people know certain things that we know. And when they don't do whatever we expect, then it's like, it doesn't work, you know, or it's not to our benefit or whatever. And so I don't know why that came up, but I think it's related to the misinformation and how we operate. I could have gotten mad when I had to take responsibility for my lack of instructions and specificity.
I think a big, big piece of that is that we live in a culture where there is an assumption that everyone has a right to understand each other for its okay. And if we could get rid of that piece, then we'd have less of this. But this assumptive behavior that I get to understand these things, you know, I think it's got to go.
And that you need to know them too, you know, like just let people live.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get back to the show. Hola, Vanis. By the way, if you are enjoying this conversation and you want to keep talking about it, if you have some comments and maybe some questions that you have, follow me on social media and let's keep that conversation going. This is your reminder to screenshot and tag me at Café con Pan Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. And let's keep talking about it. Tell me what's resonating. Tell me what isn't. Tell me what do you wish I asked the guest. This is your chance. And if you're on TikTok, I'm at Café con Pan Pod as well. Let's stay connected. Tell me about The Dads, the documentary.
It was just so amazing to be able to participate in that. And it came to fruition. Well, we first talked about it probably 5 years ago with a friend of mine, Wayne Maines, in D.C. And, you know, we're hunters, outdoorsmen, and he's talking to me. He goes, you know, we should get a group of dads together and just, you know, record some of the conversations, you know, over a fishing trip, or actually it was over a hunting trip. You know, it took a while for it to happen. And, but, you know, Lucina Fisher overheard me talking about this proposal. And she goes, I can do this. Like, I would love to film this. I can make something. And so
she's an amazing filmmaker.
She is. And so she put it together. You know, we wanted it to be in a red state and we wanted it to be diverse in the dads that were there, you know, because we wanted it to be authentic too.
Mm-hmm. So The Dads is a documentary about six dads who go on a weekend fishing trip and talk about the importance of fighting for and defending and loving and supporting their LGBTQ kids. Five of the dads have trans kids, and Dennis Shepherd, Matthew Shepherd's dad, who was murdered for being gay, participated. So he brought certainly a level of gravitas to the situation. And he, I mean, he's just a phenomenal advocate and really brings it full circle that like the hate source that killed Matthew is what we're fighting. So I think sometimes there is a significant disconnect between the LGB community understanding that the attack on the T is part of their fight as well. It's a really, really beautiful short documentary. I got to go on the weekend with them, which was really filmed in Broken Bow, Oklahoma.
She was doing all the behind the scenes, making sure we didn't have to worry about running to the store and getting all the stuff.
Nice.
One of the dads is a chef, so he did an amazing job with the food. But
ooh, that's fun. Mm-hmm.
It was. I mean, yeah. A really good chef.
Really, really great group of dads.
Yeah. But it's something that a lot of dads can relate to. And, you know, that we weren't always on board. And, you know, like it takes a little bit of time and understanding that, okay, that this is real. One, it's real. And two, you need to support your family. And that's what these amazing dads have done. And then, you know, going beyond that and just, you know, forging ahead and making sure that the areas that we live in are better, that support our kids. So, yeah, it's beautiful.
That's awesome. Where can we watch it or support it?
It should be coming out on a platform soon.
But it was in film festivals, no?
Yeah, it premiered at South by Southwest. It's been in several film festivals. It was in BFI Flare in London. It's making the tour right now. I'm not sure what all is next. I'm not clued in on all of the details, but I'm hopeful that it will be on a platform sooner than later that the masses will get to see it.
Yeah. Because it's only 10 minutes. It's not a big investment of time, but it certainly hits the points that starts the conversation.
For sure. And I think it's important because most of the times when I have seen personally, parents is the moms. And so I love that it's literally the dads, because there's a lot going back to the expectations and assumptions and gender roles and whatever. There's still a lot of the dads being a little bit far removed. And so I think this conversation is important.
Yeah.
When I learned about the documentary, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is great, because it's such a conversation that's needed. I was talking to one of my friends and she was telling me about her cousins, two cousins. I think one is trans and the other one is a lesbian. And the dad is like, you're not my kids. Very like Mexican. Seeing the documentary like that, those conversations like need to happen, because I think it's important for men to talk about it. From that perspective.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing more manly about protecting your kids, protecting your family, and loving and supporting them. That's what our job, our goal is, should be. Yeah. I mean, there's so many different things about that approach that are just wrong.
Yes.
As parents, you don't get to choose what your kids' lives are, what they become, where their interests lie. Like, that's just not a choice. They have their own lives to live.
Yes. Punto. Se acabó. Which, I mean, how are your other kids?
Well, Henry wants nothing to do with advocacy. He very much enjoys the invitations to fun and fancy things. We have had some really cool experiences. We gave you a long rundown of terrible things, and they are very terrible, but we have been invited to some really cool things because of it. Libby was invited to the Women's History Month celebration at the White House last March. Then our whole family was invited to the Easter egg roll at the White House last year. And then we were invited to a celebration of advocates of all kinds from across the country to a private Elton John concert on the South Lawn of the White House, which was really cool. And Henry, our youngest, who had never been to a concert before, was like, oh, I think I might want to be a professional singer when I grow up.
Like, wow.
Because this is pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And we just got back from Pride at the White House, which was very cool.
For sure.
Yeah. So it's the president sent Libby a really, really nice letter congratulating her for prom and apologized for not being able to attend. And it's been really nice to have a president in office who recognizes the work that our kid is doing. And, you know, who knows what next year has in store. So we're just going to appreciate what we have.
Oh, indeed. Indeed. How could people support you and how could I support you?
Well, you're supporting us right now and helping spread information that is accurate around what's happening in this country. One of the things that I didn't touch on is that there's definitely a perception that blue states are exempt from this kind of nonsense, which is obviously 100% false. And not only are we seeing school boards being overrun with the same really intense opposers of equality, they're infiltrating the narrative in Democrat spaces and progressive spaces in a way that is deeply harmful. And this isn't relegated to red states. Like, people need to stop acting like if we just move to a blue state, it will be okay, because we know so many kids in blue states who do not have okay lives on the daily. And at least living in a red state, there is an acknowledged urgent need to educate yourself and unpack your own gender bias that doesn't necessarily exist in spaces that are presumed progressive. So that's my ask of everyone, is to do some work on yourself, unpack your own gender bias, and see how you can show up in the world a little safer for everyone.
100%. I'm looking at the ACLU tracking map, and there's three states, Delaware, DC, and Puerto Rico, that don't have any bills. Every other state at least has one that is an anti-LGBTQ bill.
I'm pretty sure Puerto Rico has one, though. I don't know why it says
probably
that. They're not in session right now. That might be it.
Probably.
They did last year anyway.
And I think when you were sharing that, what came up to me is, like, when I go to Arizona, for example, it's so blatant, the danger, you mm-hmm. know, that it's like, well, I know that I need to be watching out from all places. When I'm in California, it's not as clear, mm-hmm. but it still is. And so I think, to your point, what I'm hearing is, like, well, don't feel, just because it's not, like, out there doesn't mean that it isn't safe.
Well, we didn't get to this point overnight, and complacency is dangerous, because this is infiltrating every single city. So unless you are staying vigilant, it will affect your family.
For sure. And there's so many places to find information. I'll link all the places, because y'all's already dealing with a lot. We need to be asking you things. But one thing I will say, it's none of people's business to ask about medical. I can't even say it. Like, who cares? Ugh.
Yeah, we get asked a lot. We could get a lot of media requests wanting us to talk very explicitly about healthcare access. And there is really, like, oblivion. Like, people are so oblivious to the dangers around that, like, on so many levels. But the bottom line is, why would I put in any public forum any member of my family's medical records? And I don't understand why people don't stop and ask themselves that. Like, why do you think that you get to have an opinion about my child's healthcare when you're not sharing your child's medical records with me? Aside from that, I don't expect you to understand it, because guess what? You're not my kid's parents. You are not a doctor that specializes in this. You are not a mental health care provider. So why in the world would I ask your permission to seek best practice, life-saving, medically necessary care for my child that is still legally available to everyone else who isn't transgender for a whole bunch of other reasons, and only now against the law for transgender kids? People are not thinking about it in those terms, but it's really, really important that they do.
Totally. I think we need to remember that trans lives are human lives. These are human beings that you're talking about. Like, it sounds like a product, you know, that we're just dealing, talking about the features of the product. And no, these are human beings that deserve care in whichever way they need, just like anyone else.
If our legislature cared about kids, they would perhaps seek to make healthcare access available to all kids in this state, just for, like, well visits. because that's not easily found for many kids in the state of Texas.
Do you want to share any links?
Definitely check out transprom.org. There is, aside from the list of ways that you can host your own trans prom, there's a really, really beautiful list of things that trans kids want the rest of the world to know. And you can check out the dads. South by Southwest still has a link up about it. I just checked.
Thank you so much for coming back to Cafe Con Pam.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yes, of course. If you're always down, I'll always bring you back to keep amplifying.
Thank you so much.
Do you have a remedio that you want to share?
I will say my family desperately needs to be in water for healing, like rivers, Epsom salt bath. If that's what you got, get yourself in water. You need some healing.
Yes. I love that. I don't know if you've ever had Epsom salts with magnesium.
Yes, I actually just got, have you seen this? It was Instagram added to me. Flewd. FLEWD. They're like, it's Epsom salt packets that have like magnesium, but like other stuff. So it's like an intense soak. And it's supposed to be like, there's different ones for different like anxiety and stress. And I have done one so far and I slept really well that night. So hopefully it's like a magic fix.
I mean, as long as you get good sleep, that's a win.
Anxiety sometimes takes over my brain in the middle of the night, but working on it.
Good, good, good. Frank, do you have a remedy?
Yeah. So fishing, getting out, taking Henry out fishing, or getting out just out in nature. That's definitely my thing. I really love camping, but this one doesn't enjoy camping. So I will take the kids camping on my own.
That's so interesting. I think the very like stereotypical, like white, brown. My mom is like, why do you go camping? My very Mexican mom is like, I have a bed. Like, why are you like choosing to sleep on the floor? So it's funny that you like camping.
Yeah.
He loves camping. I do not love camping. But the reason I don't love camping is because it's so much work. Like, I have
kids
who eat so much that I'm like, the amount of work that goes into going somewhere for like one or two nights and then the amount of work to clean up all the stuff, I'm like, that is not fun.
You just gotta just lower those expectations of the quality of food.
But if I go, there is an expectation.
If you go, then you're planning food for 3 days, you know, for you to eat at one.
The cheat for camping with kids is you only cook crowd pleasing meals, like something that nobody's gonna complain about, and yeah, it's just quick and easy. Yep.
I guess there's a method to it, I guess. Do you have a quote or mantra that you live by?
Oh yes. So there is an artist named Lena Wolf who has this poster that I'm obsessed with that says, "An army of lovers cannot lose." It's sort of become like my recent life motto because I'm always like, no, we're operating from a place of love. Like, this is what we're doing. And so that's my new quote. It's an army of lovers cannot lose.
I love that. Well, thank you again for all the things that you do, for all your work, your labor every day. It's a daily thing. It's an every minute thing.
Listeners, stay shining. Sabrosura pati que que.
All right, listeners, that was my conversation. How do you feel? It's really interesting to bring people back, actually, because I remember interviewing them for the first time and then bringing them a second time around, especially when interviews were difficult for me personally. And so I could sense even my growth. So I'm curious to know, how did you feel about this one and what came up for you? Because I think culturally, there's still a lot of conversations that are not being had. There's still a lot of inquiry. There's still a lot of curiosity. There's still a lot of judgment. And I think this is why it's important for us to have the conversations, because ultimately, when we understand, I believe, when we get to a place of understanding, grace, and compassion, that opens up at least the doors for less judgment, because we understand. And we don't have to fully understand, but we can understand that we don't understand. And that alone is already progress, because it removes, I believe, some of the judgment. If you resonate with this, with the episode, if anything came up, if you feel like sharing it with someone, I highly, highly recommend that. I think this is a topic that is important for all of us to talk about, and whether we are affected or not. One of the things that comes up with me when I talk to Rachel and Frank is there's so much that is out of my own reality because I don't have trans youth in my immediate family because I am not directly affected. And so learning and having this conversation allows me to see that human beings are being affected. And these are real human beings that we could say, I know, because I'm aware of the news and, you know, you see the headlines and we see the information that's being shared, but it's almost like there's this distance that happens. And so when I have these conversations, it makes it more visceral, it makes it real, it makes it closer, which humanizes the situation. But bueno, if you like this episode, I invite you also to leave a rating, a review, subscribe to the show if you haven't already. Your reviews mean so much to the show. They really do make a difference. There are so many arguments around reviews and like they don't matter. They're vanity. And I would say, because I know the data, 87% of people look at reviews before making a decision. So people are looking. And if you tell them, then maybe they might give us a try. So thank you so much for every single one of you who's left a review, a rating, a star. Thank you for subscribing and coming week and week again. One thing that I've been hearing is like, what's cool about Café con Pam is that there's so many episodes to choose from. 313, y'all. And so many that we're working on recording, and it's really exciting. And remind our listeners that we have a page on Café con Pam called Drop a Question. And so if you just go to cafeconpam.com, under the dropdown of Café con Pam, there is a page there that says Drop a Question. And completely anonymous, you can let us know your thoughts. You can let us know any questions that you may want to ask us regarding this topic. Or you can also ask me a question. I'm working on an episode where we address listener questions. So start dropping them there completely anonymous. We just ask you to give us a nickname so we know how to address you, and we'll go from there. Make sure to follow Café con Pam on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, or whatever platform you stream your podcast. And you can also download the Latina Podcasters Network app. Listeners, I would love to stay connected. Follow me on social media at Café con Pam Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. Check it out, cafeconpam.com. We are currently in the works of doing a revamp, an update. I don't know, summer changes that we're doing. It's going to be fun and exciting. So definitely stay tuned for a new website for Café con Pam. If you want to get organized, check out cafeconpamchallenge.com. If you want to hang out, go to illuminateretreat.com. And in August, I'll be hosting a retreat. I would love to have you. We are sold out of rooms, which is so exciting. Sold out of rooms, but you can still come as a commuter. If you're local in San Diego, this is probably a good option for you. If you want to get another place to stay, you can also do that and join us every day. It's 3 days, 2 nights. It's super fun. I can't wait. I'm so excited. Ivana listeners, thank you so, so much for hanging out with me today. I really hope you come back next time around. Y como siempre, stay shining.